hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in the 1996 Olympic City of Atlanta, Georgia. That's where a Major League Soccer single-game attendance record was set over the weekend. 70,425 fans were at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the three-all draw between Atlanta United and visiting Orlando City. While there have been larger crowds for exhibition matches between MLS teams and top European clubs on preseason tours, this set a record for a single-game regular-season MLS match. Among those on hand was MLS Commissioner Don Garber, who described the venue as the Stadium of the Year and Atlanta United as the Team of the Year. Atlanta United is in its first season in Major League Soccer, and it looks like it'll lead MLS in attendance. Right now, the club is averaging nearly 48,000 fans per match. Now, typically, Atlanta United will close off the upper levels of Mercedes-Benz Stadium for its matches, but it opened the entire facility for the game against Orlando City. Mercedes-Benz Stadium cost about $1.5 billion to build, and it's being called an engineering marvel. It features a retractable roof that looks like a camera lens, as well as the biggest video screen in American sports stadiums. The stadium is also home to the Atlanta Falcons of the National Football League. The Falcons played their first regular season NFL game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday night, when they beat the Green Bay Packers 34-23. Attendance at that game was 70,826, about 400 more fans than attended the MLS match. Meanwhile, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori is in Germany, where he's been checking out a few Bundesliga football matches. Kwabena reports at a game over the weekend, he had a chance to talk with a 20-year-old Cameroon-born striker.
Swiss international Brill Embolo, a native of Cameroon, said playing for Switzerland does not mean he has forgotten his African roots. The 20-year-old born in Yaoundé, the capital of Cameroon, was granted Swiss citizenship on February 19, 2015, and after pledging his allegiance to Switzerland, made his international senior debut in March 2015 in a 1-1 draw friendly against the United States in Zurich. After playing for Switzerland at the France 2016 UEFA Championships, German club Schalke signed him for a transfer fee of 20 million euros. I met him Bolo in a Bundesliga game when his team, Schalke, defeated Werder Bremen by 2-1 at the Weser Stadium in Bremen.
I feel really good. I think it was important. We want to make the next step today and to win this game. We know Werder Bremen is a very, very good team, especially at home. And we see at the first half, they were strong. The fans are pushing forward. And we speak about this in the halftime. And I try to do my best. I try to come inside and to make this 1-2% they need. And I'm happy that we get the win today.
Every weekend, Africans watching you in the Bundesliga, they love you very much. How are you preparing yourself for this year? Maybe you're going to go to the European Championships or something. How are you preparing yourself?
I'm proud. If you say it, I'm African. I'm also always proud when I'm going home to my family, and they're the most important for me. They give me the power, they give me the happiness that I have. If I don't have this family, I will not be the man I am today. And I play with a lot of pleasure. I try to do my best. This season I want to be healthy. I think last season I lost 1 year because of the injury, and now it's the time, and I'm happy.
How do you see the African Cup of Nations?
They're strong teams. They see year from year the team are strong. Every team can beat every team now in Africa, and this is good. This is good for the player and also for the nation, I think. We see Cameroon win the African Cup of Nations, but they are not in the World Cup. And this is good. The competition need to go like this, and even this, the player will be better.
This game is a victory. Are you going to stay on top? I mean, the first five, first four to qualify you?
We will go game for game, and we want to win against every team, but we know it's always tough, and this is the reason we go game for the game, and we attack team for teams.
That's Breel Embolo, the 20-year-old striker for Switzerland and the Bundesliga club Schalke. And Embolo was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver-Ofori in Bremen, Germany. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the results of the first leg quarterfinal matches in the CAF Confederations Cup played across various venues on the continent this past weekend. Holders TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo moved a step closer towards a semi-final spot following their 2-1 win against Al Hilal Obeid in Sudan on Saturday. It was a bad weekend for Tunisia, as their two representatives, Club Africain and CS Faxien, suffered defeats on the road. Club Africain lost by a long goal away to Algeria's MC Alger in Algiers, with Nekashi Hashim's first half strike separating the two sides. Elsewhere in Rabat, Karim Benarif's 19th minute penalty was all FCUS Rabat needed to beat Sfaxien for a narrow first leg advantage. Early on Friday, SuperSport United of South Africa and Zambian's Zesco United settled for a barren draw in Pretoria. The second leg matches will take place next weekend. In the CAF Champions League, defending champion Mamelodi Sundowns take a 1-0 advantage into the second leg of their 2017 CAF Champions League quarterfinals against Wydad Casablanca next week. The defending champions will take the slender lead into their second leg in Morocco in a week's time. On Saturday, it finished 1-1 between Mozambique Ferroviario de Beira and USM Alger, and it was 2-2 between record 8-time winners Al Ahly of Egypt and Tunisia's Esperance. Now to women's football. Nigeria, Ghana and Cameroon confirmed their superiority with convincing win in the first round, first leg matches of the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup France 2018 qualifiers over the weekend. Cameroon were the biggest winners thanks to a 9-0 drubbing of Guinea away in Conakry on Saturday, while Nigeria made light work of Tanzania with a 3-0 win in Benin City. Earlier on Friday, Ghana's Black Princess proved too strong for host Algeria, handing them a 5-0 beating in Algiers. Elsewhere in Kenya, the national under-20 women's football team came from behind to score two late vital away goals as they held Ethiopia to a 2-2 draw in Hawassa. Basketball, where Tunisia claimed their second FIBA AfroBasket title after beating Nigeria 77-65 in Saturday's final in Tunis. Earlier in the day, Senegal claimed the last spot on the podium after seeing off Morocco 73-62 in the third-place game. Nigeria's Aike Diogo was named the tournament's most valuable player. In marathon news, Ethiopian Assefa Nigewo has retained his title by again storming to victory in the Salam Cape Town Marathon. Nigewo is the first man ever to win the race 2 years in succession. He charged away from his competitors and ended the race in 2 hours, 2 minutes and 1 second. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Gennady Triple G Golovkin of Kazakhstan retained his world middleweight titles over the weekend, but in controversial fashion and not in the way he would have liked. Triple G's closely contested bout against Saul Canelo Alvarez of Mexico was ruled a split draw. Judge Dave Moretti scored the fight in Las Vegas for Golovkin, 115-113. Judge Don Trella scored it a draw, 114-114. But it was the scorecard of Judge Adelaide Byrd that raised eyebrows at ringside and among many boxing fans. She had Canelo winning by a 118-110 margin, scoring only the fourth and seventh rounds for Triple G. Both Triple G and Canelo criticized the decision and declared themselves to be the true winner. Well, I watched the fight, and while I picked Canelo in my pre-fight prediction, I think Triple G deserved the victory. He landed more punches and applied pressure throughout the bout. Former world and Olympic champion Oscar De La Hoya was the main promoter for Canelo Triple G, and Canelo is also under contract with De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions Company. Even the Golden Boy couldn't justify Judge Byrd ruling Canelo the winner by such a wide margin. In De La Hoya's words, and I quote, "A lot of people are not understanding 118-110, just like myself. I'm in shock," said the Golden Boy. 118-110 is a shocker. Meanwhile, Triple G's promoter, Tom Loeffler, said, and I quote, "Scoring it that wide for Canelo takes away from a lot of the performance of the two fighters in the ring. And frankly, it's just not good for the sport of boxing." Loeffler says he thinks fans are going to demand a rematch, and both Canelo and Triple G said after the fight that they're willing to make that happen. Canelo, Triple G 2, stay tuned.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa. The 72nd United Nations General Assembly opens with a theme focusing on people, striving for peace and a decent life for all on a sustainable planet. Host Shaka Sali and his guest will discuss the UNGA's theme and its importance for the people of Africa. On the next, Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Trolley!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Happy Monday and good to be here with you.
Happy Monday to you, Andrew. What's trending on this happy Monday?
Well, Sonny, it's Monday, so we're going to start with a theme.
I love your
theme. I know
themes,
you love the
Andrew.
Themes, so we're going to kick
I
the
I love
week.
The themes.
We're going to kick this week off right with a theme. And the theme is, you know, athletics is about competition and physical strength, and sports is all about that kind of stuff, but sports can also be all about the money. Of course, it's a big money maker around
the
world. So three stories all about the money today. Money Monday, we'll call it.
Money Monday.
Money
I like
Monday.
That. Yeah. I like that.
And we start in the National Basketball Association with a big announcement about their jerseys. Now, back in 2015, the NBA talked about how they were going to switch from Adidas to Nike as the sponsor and the maker of the NBA jerseys with the start of the 2017-2018 basketball season. And as part of that big announcement, they said that they wouldn't have home and away jerseys anymore, but a series of different jerseys that teams could choose from. Well, on Friday, the NBA and Nike finally released what they call the statement jerseys. These are the kind of cool versions of the jerseys, the one-off individual ones for each team that they can show off in this new season, with a pretty impressive display of star players from each of those teams showing off those jerseys there in Atlanta, Georgia. Some teams like the Lakers and the Celtics are keeping their jerseys pretty much the same. They look similar to what they always were. In fact, the Lakers on social media saying, why mess with a classic? So they're embracing that. A lot of teams are abbreviating. So you have BKLYN for the Brooklyn Nets, PHX for the Phoenix Suns, and OKC for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you're having some abbreviations on those jerseys. Others are going all out. Golden State Warriors, their statement jersey doesn't have Golden State on it. It says The Town. That's the nickname there in Oakland and where they play. So that's the name on their jersey. And the San Antonio Spurs and the Utah Jazz have no text on their front of their jerseys. It's a big off-center spur for the San Antonio Spurs. And for the Utah Jazz, it's a music note made out of a basketball. So you kind of have the note and then the staff coming up. So very cool designs. Fans saying that they love some of them, they hate some of them. It's, you know, a mixed bag among fans, but they think it's pretty cool. So they're pretty excited to see these. But of course, they've got to pay for these new jerseys, Sonny. They're all this exciting new stuff. They got to
all about the money.
All about the money, right? So the NBA also announced that they would be putting advertising on the jerseys. This was part of this announcement a couple of years ago, and so they've announced 14 partnerships so far, and a number of those teams are embracing those partnerships on social media. So you have the Boston Celtics being sponsored by General Electric, which will pay them $7 million a year to put the ad on their jerseys. The Cleveland Cavaliers will be sponsored by tire maker Goodyear. They're going to get $10 million a year for that. But the biggest of all, Rakuten, is a Japanese electronics retailer. They are going to sponsor the Golden State Warriors. They're going to pay $60 million over 3 years.
Wow.
$20 million a year to have that 2.5-inch by 2.5-inch patch on the upper left of the jersey there. So big money, certainly in sports. Big reaction from fans about the sponsorships as well. And big reaction from the athletes. Let's take a listen from Atlanta Hawks guard Malcolm Delaney, who will wear the logo for Atlanta-based healthcare company ShareCare on his uniform this season.
Yeah, this is dope. I mean, I played in Europe for a while, so, you know, we used to having sponsors on the jersey. So it's just a thing that you heard in the NBA for a while. And just to have somebody else in the company backing, you know, your organization is pretty nice. Yeah.
So Delaney at least is embracing this, and I think a lot of players are, and a lot of fans too. They said if it can you know, help to support the team and maybe get them some more star power that they can pay, then that might be a good thing. And it's not just reaction from the players to the sponsorships, it's reaction to the jerseys generally. Like Chicago Bulls' Denzel Valentine, here's what he had to say about the new jerseys.
Yeah, you know, it looks different, you know, anything new that
anything new that comes up, you pretty much like. You know, they like to switch it up and stay up to date. So I'm signed with Nike myself, so it's real cool to just be all Nike, all in now.
And part of switching it up, Sonny, is of course means that fans have to go out and buy the new jerseys, which is of course where the money also comes in. But it's not just the cool new designs that fans are going to be able to purchase. Nike also announced a new Nike Connect jersey, and this is so cool. Fans are going to be able to tap their phone on the jersey's tag at the bottom of the jersey, and that will get them player updates, scores, other exclusive content to their phones just by tapping the phone onto the jersey. I don't think I've seen anything like that ever before in any sport, so it's pretty cool. The trade-off for all that coolness, though, is a hefty price tag. The replica jersey with Nike Connect is going to start at $110.
Wow.
And if you want the authentic jersey with that Nike Connect technology, that's going to set you back at least $200. So big money from fans that they're going to have to be paying to get these jerseys. And I think big money for the National Basketball Association. They're going to have a lot of new jerseys in their stadiums across the league this year. And I think a lot of fans are going to be shelling out some big bucks to get those jerseys on their backs.
And it's all about the money for Nike, I guess, right, Andrew?
Oh, Nike, I'm sure they're raking it in. It's, you know, Nike, you know, Nike is, their color is kind of green because they're from Oregon, and then the Oregon sports teams have green. And I think there's a lot of green coming in Nike's future for sure.
Well, what else is trending on this Money Monday, I should
money
say.
Money Monday. Well, of course, it's not just merchandise that brings in a lot of money to sports. It's also ticket sales. And we had quite a few ticket sales in Atlanta over the weekend. Atlanta United facing off against Orlando FC in the Major League Soccer at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And the confirmed attendance there, 70,425, setting the attendance record for a Major League Soccer game, the biggest crowd ever. A lot of tickets that were sold to get to that game. Fans are on social media saying it's awesome that soccer is getting this much attention in the U.S., and it's awesome to see the video from inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta, because fans are saying it's like watching a Premier League match. It is loud. The fans are raucous. Nothing too upsetting or too rowdy. They are respectful, but it's pretty crazy to see them cheering and getting so excited. You don't really see that for soccer in the U.S., certainly not for Major League Soccer.
And in terms of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I guess you could say it was a great ride over the weekend, because after Atlanta United played there, the Atlanta Falcons opened their NFL regular season. Again, more than 70,000 fans at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
A lot of tickets, a lot of money there for sure.
Well, we have about a minute left in the show, Andrew. What else is trending?
Well, let's end on a positive note, because money, you know, and earnings can sometimes cloud things in sports, but sometimes it can do a lot of good. And this is revisiting a story we talked about a couple weeks ago. J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans in the National Football League started a campaign to raise money for the victims of Hurricane Harvey in Houston. Started with a goal of $200,000. Well, he just ended his campaign, and Sonny, he raised more than $37 million from nearly 210,000 different donors. Fans say this is incredible that J.J. Watt was able to use his star power to do such good. And fans are already calling for J.J. Watt. The football season just started. They're already calling for him to receive the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award given to a player for his charitable endeavors. They said he's already earned it even at the beginning of the season for the great work that he did.
Nicely done on Money Monday, Andrew.
Money Monday.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of South Sudan are experiencing the world's worst food security crisis, one caused not by drought or flood, but by man-made conflict, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar that spiraled into a civil war in late 2013. Famine was declared in part of South Sudan in early 2017, but with quick action on the part of the international community, including the United States, famine was alleviated 4 months later. However, the overall food security situation in South Sudan remains dire, with more than half the current population, 6 million people, facing life-threatening hunger this year. The United States is the biggest donor to the massive humanitarian effort in South Sudan. Since 2013, we have contributed nearly $2.7 billion in humanitarian assistance for the South Sudanese people, including those who have fled to neighboring countries. $729 million has been provided in 2017 alone. In South Sudan, one of the biggest obstacles to delivering emergency aid is gaining access to those in need in one of the most difficult and expensive countries in which to deliver assistance. South Sudan is also the most dangerous country in the world for aid workers. Since the conflict began in December 2013, 85 aid workers have been killed. According to the United Nations, nearly 630 incidents hindering humanitarian access occurred between January and July of this year. Some 36% of them involved violence against humanitarian personnel, assets, or civilian infrastructure. So far this year, 27 security incidents have forced around 300 relief workers to relocate from areas of operation. At the same time, humanitarian aid organizations have complained that their movements are often restricted, often by the government. During a visit to South Sudan on September 2nd, USAID Administrator Mark Green said, "While it is true that we support the people of South Sudan, it is just as true that the situation has deteriorated to the point where a serious reexamination of U.S. policy is appropriate. We urge President Kiir and his government to both acknowledge and address the worsening humanitarian crisis in South Sudan, restore a permanent ceasefire by ceasing ongoing military offensives, end obstruction of humanitarian access, eliminate exorbitant fees levied on aid organizations, and engage in a meaningful, inclusive peace process."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.